Thou shalt call upon me, and I shall hear you. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria. As Father Pastor is on his vacation, I have these 3 weeks to minister to you. So we'll have a little three-part homily series. Today's the first one. We're all familiar with the pre-Lenten season of Septuagesima, which prepares us so we don't have to go right from Christmas and Epiphany joy into the harsh desert of Lent, of a transition time. I'll suggest over the next 3 Sundays that also the church, the Latin church, has also a pre-Advent time, but it's a little bit hidden and subtle. So I'll try to draw out some of those features for you over the next 3 weeks, using a little bit of the Missal, but more from the breviary, the prayers that the priests and religious say throughout the day. This week in the breviary, we are in the book of Holy Prophet Ezekiel. Next week we'll be in Daniel, and the following week Isaiah for the first Sunday of Advent. So those will be the focuses of the homilies. Today, Holy Prophet Ezekiel. Also paralleling that three-part structure will be the three traditional works of penance. Today, prayer. Next week, fasting. And the following week, almsgiving. It works out nicely. So today, Holy Prophet Ezekiel. He's there in the margins of the liturgy, if you're a textual scholar. First, who is Holy Prophet Ezekiel? Well, we have to know a little bit of our salvation history, or just to remind you. So you know the glory days of the Kingdom of Israel around 1000 BC. King David up there with the harp. Well, that didn't last too long, as you know. Israel fell away from the true God and began to worship false idols. And there was civil war. So from the 12 tribes, there was division. And so the 10 northern tribes of Israel went north, and the 2 tribes stayed in the south, Judah. So there became 2 kingdoms, Israel and Judah. Well, God took care of the first bit. The Assyrians he sent to destroy Israel, the 10 northern tribes, in 721. There's a famous poem about that, in English, I mean. So that's 721 BC, keep that in your mind. Then he sent the Babylonians not once or twice, but many times, and we speak of 3 Babylonian captivities. In Jerusalem, finally, the southern kingdom of Judah, destroyed 586 BC. All right, it's important to have just those 3 dates in your mind, just to keep a context. All right, so how about Holy Prophet Ezekiel? Where does he fit in? Holy Prophet Ezekiel and Holy Prophet Daniel were taken either in the first or the second Babylonian captivity. So we're right around 590, 600 BC. Okay. Well, if you're not asleep yet, continue. Stay with me. Okay, good. So now we have Holy Prophet Ezekiel and Holy Prophet Daniel in Babylon in exile, in the land of darkness. And so this is what I mean. We're preparing to receive the prophecy of the Messiah, which is going to be what Holy Prophet Isaiah will speak so beautifully about. And then we have Christmas, of course. First, the penance part, though, before we get there. So, God appears to Holy Prophet Ezekiel in many dreams and visions, and he commands him first to do penance. How? Ezekiel, lie on your right side and bear the iniquity of the house of Judah for 40 days. Not a very nice prophecy, but your ears hopefully are tingling that 40, that number 40 is a mystical number. You think of the 40 days of penance that Holy Father Moses spent on Mount Sinai, doing penance before he received the Torah from God. through the ministry of angels. We think, of course, of a 40 days and 40 nights fast of our Lord after his baptism. So that number 40 is there. We're roughly 40 days from now till Christmas. The Eastern churches, who have kept many of the great traditions, they begin their solemn Advent fast now, November 15. It was there in the Latin church too, but these things get obscured over the centuries. So obviously we're in green, not in violet. But it is a pre-Advent season. So there's Holy Prophet Ezekiel in Babylon. And what other vision does he receive? This is before the destruction of Jerusalem. The Lord appears to Holy Prophet Ezekiel and says this, or rather, this is what the Ezekiel saw. And then I beheld the glory of the Lord departing from the house. What is this glory of the Lord? Remember the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah, the glorious cloud of the visible manifestation of God's presence, dwelling first in the tabernacle of meeting, then later it descends and fills the temple of Solomon with such great smoke that the priests couldn't even see, and they all just fell down prostrate. That is the Shekinah, the glory cloud of the Lord, the sign of God's presence with Israel. So when the Jews, from the tribe of Judah, when the Jews were taken captive to Babylon, Ezekiel receives this vision that the temple is going to be destroyed, the visible manifestation of God's presence will be taken away. And that's the true exile. The exile of the Jews was not that they lost their land, or not that they lost four walls of the temple. That has nothing to do with the real exile of the Jews. The real exile of the Jews is to be without the manifest, visible presence of God that we have here in our tabernacle. That is exile. So wherever you are, it doesn't matter. But if you're without the presence of Almighty God, in the Blessed Eucharist, or dwelling in the souls of the just through faith, the divine indwelling of the three blessed persons of the Trinity, that is what it means to be in exile. But God doesn't leave Ezekiel there, and he doesn't leave us there. He appears again, and he hears God speaking this: I will set up one shepherd over my people, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. Ezekiel 34. Obviously a prophecy of the Messiah, not the first David who is dead, but the true David, the Son of God, the incarnate second person of the Blessed Trinity who was to come. So that's very consoling. And so we're preparing our hearts and minds and bodies for this coming in the flesh, this great mystery of Christmas. Holy Prophet Ezekiel receives also this comforting word. When the Messiah comes, then I will sprinkle you with clean water, and you shall be clean. Our asparagus. From all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I will take away your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Now, since this is prophecy, it's not univocal, by which I mean it doesn't only mean one thing. Equations are really good for expressing one thing, but not prophetic words. So this can have many levels of meaning. And one very concrete interpretation of this prophecy, the heart of flesh he gives us is the heart, the Eucharistic heart of Jesus. That's a new heart. That heart belongs not only to the second person of the Blessed Trinity, but through our sharing in baptism in the Blessed Eucharist, he truly feeds us as the shepherd with his own heart. And it's by feeding, being fed by the true shepherd, that our flinty hearts, our hearts of stone, the stones that we've put there with our sin, personal, actual, original, that those stones are removed and makes our heart more flesh-like, like the heart of Jesus. Finally, the final point Ezekiel receives, well, he receives many points, but for the sake of the homily today, the final point is a prophecy that I think can be interpreted as a prophecy of the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is the very end of Ezekiel now, chapter 43. The temple has been destroyed, and he knows it. The third captivity has happened. And now he's wondering about how God will be visibly with his people. He receives this vision. I saw the glory of the Lord come into the house by the eastern gate. The Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Every child knows this who prays the Litany of Loreto. Titles of Our Lady, House of Gold, House of Ivory, Tabernacle of the Holy Spirit, Spouse of the Holy Spirit. Our Lady is the true temple, the true tabernacle, she who was filled to overflowing with the true Shekinah, the glory, the visible glory of the Lord. If you look at the Greek translations of the Old Testament, the famous one, I mean, the Septuagint, the same word that the sacred writer uses to describe the presence, the mode of being of the Shekinah in the temple, is episkiazo, it's overshadowing. What word does St. Luke, writing in Greek in the New Testament, what word does St. Luke use to describe the Annunciation? Our Lady asks the archangel, how shall this be, as I know not man? The angel replies, the glory of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Episkiazo. The Shekinah, the glorious dwelling of God, is no longer to be confined to stone walls, but is to be given to a human person, the person of our Blessed Lady. Not for her sake alone, but for all peoples, that she can become, as Eve was supposed to be, the mother of all the living. So our Blessed Lady is the true Eve, just as our Lord is the true Adam, giving birth mystically to all. And so as we think now, you have to turn off the radios and the television and all this business that is already singing Santa songs or whatever. Forget that. Think about how to prepare your heart now for Christmas. How to begin to prepare your heart now for Advent. How will you celebrate a fruitful Advent? Because as we all know, when you wake up on Christmas morning, you don't just turn like a switch on the light and suddenly you're filled with Christmas joy. Not really. That joy springs up from the well of the heart, the well that is filled with prayer and fasting and almsgiving. That's how God will fill us up during this season. Finally, the very last verse of Prophet Ezekiel is just beautiful. the very last verse of the whole book, which is very long. The name of that city from that day forth shall be called The Lord is There. The Lord is There. Of course, we know that's one of the titles of our Lord, Emmanuel, the God who is with us always. God bless you, and Ave Maria.